Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Amen. Frida, you are right. You can sense the presence of God in this place. And don't you like the way she put that, that you can dip in, you can, we can press in. And the Holy Spirit lands on the desperate people, people that are waving their hands and their hearts and that they're crying out to God, just saying, God, I want more of you. I want more of your anointing. I was thinking about anointing today, Pam. Anointing does not mean personality. It doesn't mean charisma.
That's right.
It doesn't mean having a bright... All those things are nice, but nothing replaces the anointing of God on our life.
That's
and without
right.
that, we really cannot do anything. With Jesus, there's nothing that cannot be done. But by yourself, there's nothing that can be done.
I posted something last night. I usually try to post before Sunday morning, and one of the things was... coming to church is not a Sunday morning decision, it's a Saturday night decision, and that is correct, to decide to come to worship God. But the second thing that I felt led to post was I put a thing on my Facebook saying, Holy Spirit, you're invited. And instead of possibly inviting people to church or begging people to come to church, it's time we invite the Holy Spirit. And that's what I've been doing lately. Holy Spirit, just show up, we want to honor you today. We want you to be the most honored guest. And something when Willie was sharing about Moses, you know, and the lifting of hands, there was an actual reason that Moses' hands got heavy. I'm sure some of you know already, it's what was in his hands. The staff that represents the cross was in his hands. That's why they got heavy. But I want to maintain that Jesus carried a very heavy cross for you and I. He did. And he never turned back, and he continued to carry that. But this morning, we are going to talk about one of the most important topic that we will ever talk about in this church. And you're going to say, well, they're going to do a message on the cross. And here's what the Holy Spirit put in my spirit. The cross is not the most important thing that you should talk about, and here's why. I could be talking about anybody. There were millions of people who died on a cross. Am I right? What's more important than the message of the cross alone is the blood of the Lamb that was shed on the cross. That's the message. That's the message. Many people died on a cross. Many people were crucified, but there was only one sinless Lamb of God that was crucified on that cross. And to me, that's the most powerful topic we can talk about. Today, we're going to talk about the blood, and of course, you know, because we've shared this before, the blood of the Lamb is not just blood. The blood of the Lamb is the most powerful substance of all of heaven and earth. There is nothing on this earth that is more powerful than the blood of the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to maintain and say this to you, can accept it or not, that there are many people today who are spiritually weak and anemic, spiritually anemic. You know how you have anemia physically? You can have spiritual anemia because they have physical blood, but they have not honored the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. God has known many sorrows. Do you know that Jesus said, Isaiah said he was a man of sorrows. Let me explain this to you. Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and rejected. If you serve him, you may be too. Rejected of men. A man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. We didn't honor him. I want to say that God understands your pain, your tears. And I know this is difficult for you to believe. And I apologize, we don't have our bullets today, there's an internet problem with the internet. But it is difficult for you and I to believe, but God cares more for you than you care for you. And you know what? We do care about ourselves. Where am I going to eat? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Are all my needs going to be met? But do you know that God cares more about that than you care about that? And that should give you some peace. But God suffered the greatest sorrow that anyone will ever, 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 ever suffer, and that was to watch his sinless son die. And he did that to save us, not from our sin, because we are sinners. We will sin. And I just had this conversation with somebody. I know this is just a quick bunny trail, but I sat with someone this week who told me about a man who committed suicide, a godly man, a man who loved Jesus, a man who served in a church and just honored Jesus. And this individual said to me, "I'm very sad because he went straight to hell." I said, whoa, excuse me? We are not the judge, for one thing. If you say things like that, then you've just made yourself God. You know what? That's not the truth. You know why? Because of this message right here. The blood is more powerful. It can reach into your past and cleanse your sins and not just cover your sins. It washes away your sins. The blood is good for the present today. You may have come in here with bad attitude or whatever the case. The blood covers and it speaks to the future. Sins you have not yet committed yet. And I am so thankful that I know that the cross, something that I talk about, and I'm going to hand this to Pastor Ken, the cross was one of the messiest places you would ever visit. We try to clean up the blood. We try to clean up the cross. We try to wear silver crosses and gold crosses, and we try to clean up, but you can never clean up the message of the cross. And it was a messy place. You know why? Because my life was a mess. It took his mess to clean up my mess.
I heard about a town, I think it's in Pennsylvania, but it's in the United States somewhere, that they've had a fire that's been burning for like over 100 years, and they can't put it out. It's underground, and they had to move the whole town. There used to be a town there, but this underground fire, they just can't put it out. The cross is still happening. It's not something that is a past event. It's always a current. You can always go to the cross and go to the foot of the cross, and there's that power and there's of salvation that's there. Just like a trap of the enemy is to have us dwelling on the past or the future, never the now. Always about how good things used to be or how bad things used to be. Satan doesn't care. Just think about the good old days. Think about the bad old days. Either way, you're living in a fantasy world that no longer exists. Or you can worry about the future or think about the future, which also doesn't exist. You know, what exists is now. Now faith is. Now faith is. We do too much thinking about tomorrow and not enough thinking about what is happening in our life right now. And right now, as you're in church and you made this decision to come, you're making a statement that you belong to Christ, that you identify with Christ. And that is so important. If you acknowledge me before men, then I will acknowledge you before the Heavenly Father. Just by being here, you're acknowledging that you belong to Christ. And that is so important, and I'll tell you why. Because the world is into following the crowd. If it's stupid, it doesn't matter. The world will follow the crowd. If there's some fad that makes no sense, the world will follow the crowd. If there's some fashion that is just ugly, they will follow the crowd. If the crowd decides something is worthy, they will follow the crowd. And why that is so, so, so dangerous is because there was one time in the Bible there was 400 false prophets and only one true prophet. Who are you going to follow, the 400 or the one? How many examples where the crowd said, "Crucify him"? Yeah. What should we do with Christ? Well, we should crucify him. That's what everyone is screaming and shouting. So where's my sign that says crucify him? Joining the crowd, we have been given an intellect to make a tough decision, and that is whether or not Jesus Christ is our Lord and is going to be our Savior. And you cannot make that decision based on popular opinion. And here's what scares me is I read, and you can easily prove this out, that the number of people who identify as Christians that go to church, that believe in God, that believe in the resurrection, that believe in the blood, that believe in heaven. In other words, the very core of what we believe in. The number of people who are leaving that and are abandoning that and no longer identify with that is incredibly high. And for people that want the acceptance of the crowd and don't want to be the standout when everyone goes, you're not one of those holy roller, you don't believe in that ridiculous, you got to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, you've got to be willing to take that stand when you're the only one taking that stand. And that's almost every Bible story. It's not every Bible story, but how many Bible stories required the courage of conviction to stand in a crowd and say, I want to tell you about Jesus, when everyone's like, don't tell us about Jesus. So this is important, what is happening now. And I was just praying, you know, I always remember, you know, those war movies where they're so surrounded by the enemy that they can't call in an airstrike on the enemy because the enemy is right where they're at. And in several movies, because they're true to life, they say, we're calling in an airstrike upon ourselves. In other words, the enemy is so close, just let it fall. And I think of the day the Holy Spirit fell with fire and with wind, and I just call in an airstrike on myself. God, just let the fire fall on this position. I'll be okay. But that's what is necessary, is that each of us have that kind of God experience. The most important thing in your life is that relationship with God. And I would submit to you that if we don't have a personal prayer life, a personal relationship, that we sense the Holy Spirit, that we hear from the Holy Spirit, that we're praying to God, if we don't have that walk, what we have is pure religion. All we're doing is following a pattern, but it's religion and not relationship. Okay, Pam, I'm going to get back to the notes here. The blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, an innocent Lamb. We see that, and I love that so much about the cross is written in Isaiah or Ezekiel. I mean, before Jesus is born, the Bible's talking about him and talking about the cross. God is passionate about the cross. He's passionate about salvation. He's passionate about the blood. And they applied the blood to their ears. They applied it to their thumbs. They applied it to their feet. They applied it to their forehead. Moses sprinkled the blood on the people. They applied it to the houses. And as Willie was talking about the other day, we can spiritually apply the blood. That you can, at your front door, when you can put your hand and say, I apply the blood of Jesus over this home. You can apply the blood over your children's rooms, or you can make much of the blood, and the blood will make much of you. And I've heard it said, and you've heard me say, the blood of Jesus is on every page of the Bible. You can see this thread of red, this red thread that is interwoven in the entire Bible. And I could not wrap my head around, what does that mean? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Yeah. When who sees the blood, they'll pass over. What does that mean? And now that I've read it a little older, this is the death angel. This is judgment that was coming. But when the blood is applied, praise God.
You know, it's interesting because to us, we say that the cross was over 2,000 years ago. But when God sees the cross, it's like it was today. It's like it just happened. It's always ever before him. You know, as I've been teaching in Exodus, I'm reminded of that the very, well, let's go back to Genesis. When Pastor Ken said, first of all, that the blood is on every page, the first sin committed by the man and the woman, the first sin, what did God do? Immediately he shed symbolic blood of the sacrifice coming. So the blood, anytime we sin, and I think that it's so wonderful because what that means is the only thing that would satisfy the wrath of God was the blood, was his blood, the blood of his son. What does that mean that the wrath of God is satisfied? It means God is no longer angry about your sin. It means he's not mad at you. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad it is, there's mercy for you because the wrath of God, it's already been taken care of. And we do see it. And I think of that the Bible says that the enemy, the devil, comes to steal, to kill, and what? To destroy. His intention for you is to steal from you. I'm going to steal your joy. I'm going to steal your family. I'm going to steal anything you have. I want it. I'm going to steal it from you. I'd like to kill you. But worst of all, he wants to destroy you as if you never even existed. And the destroyer is going out through the land, about through the land today. Correct me again. How many shootings are there? How many mass killings? How many do you hear it constantly? The destroyer is going through our land today. And there is only one way, not two ways, not three ways. There is one way to be safe. It's not a bulletproof vest. It's the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood covenant, the blood of the Lamb where the blood is applied. And I loved talking about that town where the fire burns all the time, because that is our prayer for this church. May the fire on the altar never burn out. May the fire on the altar never burn out. It needs to be burning in us. And that's why lately I've been inviting you, we have been inviting you to come to the altar. Lord, send your holy fire on us. And I sense a change, a new direction in the spirit realm, because this is happening. As you come to an altar, you're standing saying, Lord, use me. Lord, burn in me. Lord, cover me. I honor you. Let me share something with you. There are four things that we need to be ever before us to honor. Number one, the blood. Number two, the cross. Number three, the word. And number four, the Holy Ghost. Call him his name, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. We should never be ashamed to talk about any of these things, to share our testimony. And to know, for me, when I think of the blood, Pastor Ken, I cannot help but think of the seven times that Jesus shed his blood. And the number seven means completion, and it represents 7 days a week I'm covered by the blood. Seven, in anywhere I go, wherever I go. He shed his blood in the Garden of Gethsemane as he struggled and said, God, is it possible for this cup to pass from me? He shed his blood when, like Tony said, for our sanity, for brain tumors, for headaches right now in Jesus' name. He shed his blood when they punched him and plucked out his beard, and the punching and the blood inside, the bruising, was for our inner healing. The things you need healing of in your heart that no one knows about. Those things. He shed his blood at the whipping post and purchased our healing. He shed his blood when his feet were pierced. May every step we take be ordered of the Lord. He shed his blood when his hands were nailed to the cross. May our hands be used to lay hands on the sick and to comfort others and to love other people. He shed his blood when they pierced his side, and all of this was for you and I. And I want to tell you something. The blood of Christ seems unpleasant to people. Churches sometimes don't want to talk about it because it seems so gory and so awful. Do you know why? Because it was. Because it was painful. It was horrific. And you know, we hear all the time, I've heard, of hostage situations. When somebody has a hostage, they're holding somebody like the enemy held you and I in captivity as a hostage to sin. We were bound Do you know how you know the value of someone that's a hostage? Is the price someone else is willing to pay to set them free, to get their freedom. What price? You hear about governments all the time. Recently, not long ago, they paid money. We don't even know how much, but they say it was in the millions of dollars for a hostage to be redeemed. Jesus paid even more than that because that's how valuable we were to him and we are to him.
Well, John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And that's, of course, exactly what Jesus did. Years ago when I was in the military, I came home late one night and I lived in a dorm. A bunch of people lived in different dorm rooms. And on the first floor, I saw blood on the floor. And the blood went up the staircase. And that wasn't my way to go, but I had a blood trail. So I went up the staircase, and then the blood went down the hall. Now I'm really intrigued because this is blood. And the blood went right into a room. And I decided that when you have a blood trail going into the room, you don't even have to knock. I don't know why I just said, I'm going in. Because I was just, you know, I'm on the case. So I walked into this room without knocking to a pretty shocking scene. There was five guys all passed out, and one of them was in the corner with blood coming out of his arm. Isn't it interesting that blood, he was okay. I mean, I got him to the doctor and stuff. But the blood should have been screaming out a warning to all these guys, but they were drunk. Isn't it interesting that blood is bright red? That it's like warning. The Bible says that life is in the blood, which means if you lose enough blood, you die. It's pretty much the first rule of medicine that we ever figured out. The blood that Jesus shed, as you were going through all those causes of the blood, the thought hit me. Jesus never shed one drop of blood that was not a direct result, listen to this, of a wound of some sort. The thorns caused blood. The stripes caused blood. Getting hit in the face would cause blood. The whip would cause blood. The nails, I'm probably missing all sorts of them, pulling at his beard would cause the blood. There was all these sort crying in the garden that the blood. So the wounds to his heart. So the blood of Jesus was as a direct result of your wounds. Because if you're sitting here and you go, I feel wounded, Jesus bled that wound. Isn't that interesting? And I know you've heard me say before, but from a scientific standpoint, from the science of which I love the science because science laws are God's laws, that there's more blood cells in the human body than there are people that's ever lived, which means that when Jesus died, there was at least one blood cell for every single person that has ever lived. I heard, this is a completely unrelated scientific fact, but I just couldn't believe that. I mean, I can believe it because it's amazing. You know that every cup of water has more molecules in the cup of water than there are cups of water on Earth, which is amazing. But if you had about a quart of water, and if you could, I think Neil deGrasse Tyson said this, but he said if you could stretch out the molecules end to end, how long would they stretch out? And the math says it would be almost the distance that light would travel in 1 year. Completely out of the solar system. Just from a quarter, if you could stretch out the mouth. God is amazing. And the laws of God are amazing. And because God is so much more smart than we are, it really doesn't ever make sense to question God. But it does make sense to honor God and to submit our life to him. Through the cross, we see Jesus giving everything. And you know, the best songs, Pam, are the ones about the blood. There's that the song, There's Power in the Blood, because it's true. There is a fountain. A fountain. And that's from the Bible, by the way, that a fountain will open up. That's amazing. The song, Are You Washed in the Blood? And you know, the old-time religion, during the revivals of the beginning of the 20th, there was, they always talked about the blood. Those old-time preachers always preached about the blood. Now listen to this. I know you know this, but I was talking about every wound is the blood. Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You know, there's that scripture, I think it's in Revelation, that says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So we need two things. We need to be testifying as to who we are, who he is, and we overcome by the blood. So we need to place the blood over our life, and we need to invite the Holy Spirit into our life.
That is absolutely true. I mean, just to meditate the blood and the passion of the Christ. It's one of the greatest movies that I ever seen. If you're going to see a movie that was put out by Hollywood, I could not believe. And so many people, and I've said this before, have said, you know, that was just horrific. And that's just because it was. I thought they did an excellent representation, although the heaviness of the cross and the blood was much more for Jesus. You could never properly articulate and display what he actually went through. We know that when Christ, after he was crucified and he came back from the dead, he was resurrected, he met many people. He spoke with people, and including his disciples and many people. But if you notice that there is, in Luke 25 and 39, Jesus claimed, after he came back from the dead and was resurrected, he claimed to have flesh and bones. He went out of his way, flesh and bones. But there's something he did not claim. He did not claim to have blood. And the reason for that is the blood of Christ. What an amazing thing to even say out of your mouth is, was applied to the mercy seat of God in heaven, the place where we get to go. And I think about that song, he paid a debt he did not owe, because I owed a debt I did not pay. Not too long ago, someone came to me because they had a debt, and they know that I love them or will pray for them or whatever. And they came, and the debt was a large debt. And they said, I can't pay this. I just can't pay this. You know, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. Have you ever had a situation like that where you owed a debt that you just could not pay? You did not have the means to pay it? And I was able to tell that person, I can pay that debt. I can get you out from under that debt. But watch this. There was a time in my life when I owed a debt that I could never pay. A sin debt. And there was no person like that person came to me. And I could pay that debt. But there was a time when there was a debt I could not pay. And none of you, I couldn't have gone to any of you and said, this is too big for me. What do I do about my sin? What do I do? I committed this sin and that sin. And I'm guilty. Jesus stepped in and paid that debt for me and for you. You could never pay it. And a lot of people think that they're going to get into heaven by good works. Because the Bible proves this out in Matthew and says there's people that are going to stand before Jesus and they're going to say, but didn't I do this and didn't I do that? Didn't I wash the feet? Didn't I feed the poor? Didn't I? I did such good things. I worked at the soup kitchen. I helped people. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. Do you know how you're related? Do you know how Ken and I are related? How do we get to be related? We have the same father and blood. We're related through the blood. That's how we get to be related to Jesus. Depart. I don't ever want to hear those words, but we will never get into heaven because we're good enough. What I like is, in any time you've committed something wrong, suppose you are, let's say this, you are guilty of a crime. You have committed a transgression, you are guilty of a crime, and you're going to have to stand in a court before a physical judge. What is it that you need from that judge? Because you're guilty. You need mercy. You're not standing there going, what's my sentence going to be? I hope you really stick it to me. I know the sentence. Because usually you know what the sentence is. And we know what the sentence is and the punishment for sins. What you're looking from the judge is for him to pronounce you not guilty. And that's what Jesus did for us. He declared us not guilty. And I cannot think of a more passionate message than the blood. That it doesn't just, I want to say it like this. The blood doesn't just cover our sins. The blood washes away our sins. That means as if they never happened. You can tell somebody, that ain't me. That ain't me. That never happened. The blood has washed it away.
I heard of a guy that was in a funeral procession. They were following the cars, and he realized he was out of gas, so he turned into the gas station, and the whole funeral procession just followed behind him into the gas station. There's an old Wendy's commercial that I really like. It shows this giant pit and hundreds of people just diving into this bottomless pit. And it says, don't just go along with the crowd. Just because thousands of people are diving into hell, that's what I thought. This Wendy's commercial, it could have been about heaven and hell. Could have been, don't follow everyone else into hell. Because think about it, even if the whole country, the whole world, if they decide that they don't want Jesus and they don't want God, what does that have to do with your decision for God? Because it's not like, well, at least we'll all be in hell together. Everyone is in hell alone, without one friend, without one comforter, and without any. It's just that that's where we were headed because of our earthly father, Adam. Because when sin entered the world, it just got passed down. But because if through one man sin entered the world, how much more through the one man, Jesus Christ? And see, that's where the legality of the cross comes in. As a lawyer, I love to look at this. It's like Satan can't say it's not fair that Jesus saves everyone. Because God could say, well, it's not fair that Adam condemns everyone. It's the same rules. Apples produce apples. That's how it works. When Jesus produces children, they're cleansed with his blood. We get his DNA. Like you said, our Father is the same. And our Heavenly Father is the same. That's what makes all of us the same in here. Our Father, we have the same Father. Isn't that amazing? We have the same Father. Don't go along with the crowd. Don't try to figure out God. He's God. He said it. That's it. It settles it. It's over. Pastor, do you really believe that God did that in the Bible? Yes, it's in the Bible. You believe in the flood? Yes, it's in the Bible. Do you really believe that that man was raised from? Yes, he was raised. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Was that blind man? Yes, he really saw. Did Jesus really rise? Yes. Did he really defeat Satan? Yes. Is he coming back? Yes. I'm not trying to figure it out. I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. I'm not smart enough to be smarter than God. I don't want to be smarter than God. I realize how smart I'm not. I'm only smart enough to trust in God that he knows what it is. So I'm going to close with this. I'm going to take about 3 minutes. And I'm going to read you a letter. What if, when you came in this morning, I said to you, I don't know how this happened. This is amazing. But the Holy Spirit has managed to write you a letter of encouragement. And it was in an envelope, and it's got his letterhead, the Holy Spirit. And it's signed by him, and it's like, it's to you. It says, Tony, you would not throw that letter away. You would want to hear what that letter said. I'll tell you where this is from, and it's from the Bible. I'll tell you where after I read it, because everyone should read the whole letter. I don't have time to read the whole letter. The Holy Spirit, it'll probably take you 10 minutes to read the whole letter. But it's one of the most encouraging letters in the Bible. My old pastors used to say, if you need vacation, go to this letter. If you just need to be refreshed, you need something cool to drink, you need some encouragement, this is where you go. And so I'm going to actually read this from the Message Bible because it'll give it a little bit more contemporary feel to it. But I want you to consider this as something from the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to read some excerpts here to kind of encourage you. So the question is, if instead of me and Pam up here, what if the Holy Spirit was up here? Like, what would he say to us? Well, we know from the Word of God what he would say. So here's just a few things that the Holy Spirit would say to you today. I pray that you will have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, thanking the Father who makes you strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for you. God has rescued you from dead-end alleys and dark dungeons. The Son who got us out of the pit we were in got rid of the sin we were doomed to keep repeating. We look at this Son of God and we see God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything that he created. For everything, absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was supreme from the beginning, leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From the beginning to the end, he's there, towering far above everything and everyone, so spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death. You yourself are a case study of what he does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God. You were thinking rebellious thoughts of him. You gave him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your life together, whole and holy, in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned into the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. God wants everyone to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It is that simple. This is the substance of your message. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around faith. Now do what you've been taught. School is out. Start living it. Almost finished. Just a couple other thoughts. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All of your sins are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross. Don't tolerate people who try to run your life. The source of life is Christ, who puts us together in one piece, whose very breath and blood flow through us. He is the head. We are the body. We grow up healthy only as he nourishes us. There's so much more that I could go on. So if you say, I would like to read that entire letter from the Holy Spirit to me, it's in your Bible. It's in the book of Colossians. Read the whole book of Colossians. It is so refreshing. And I'm gonna go to the piano, but pray for the God to call in an airstrike of the Holy Spirit. Rain down the fire on my position.
And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to all come to the altar and talk to God and tell him, send your fire. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up to overflowing. That's what I want. That's what I desire. And we're going to honor the blood, and we're going to honor the cross, and we're going to honor the Word and the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Bible, let's stand, and you can make your way to the front here. In the Bible, there's actually a book called Hosea. And in the book of Hosea, there's someone in the Word in that book that represents you and I. When a young man is choosing a bride, how does he choose a bride? He chooses a bride. He wants a bride who's beautiful. He wants a bride who's clean. He wants a bride who can do things for him and meet his needs. But when Jesus chose a bride, and in the book of Hosea, here's what, Hosea was a prophet, and here's what God told Hosea. He said, I want you to marry this woman named Gomer. She's unfaithful. She's unfaithful, and she's going to continue to be unfaithful. And how many times did Gomer go out and she was unfaithful? And you know what God would tell Hosea? Go get her and love her again. Go get her and bring her back again. Bring her home again. And that's what God has done for you and I. He says we sin because we're sinners, because we live in a fallen world. But there's always the blood. There's always the cross, and there's always Jesus saying, you can come back. Go get them again. Go bring them back again. I want them back again. Gomer is who we are in the Bible, and we can't afford to ever forget that. You know why? Because there's some other Gomers out there that still need to be brought in. We still need to tell them, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad it is. Not only will God forgive you, I will forgive you too. You can come home. Father, in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge our sin before you, Father God. We repent of the sin, Father God, the sin we committed intentionally, the sins we committed unintentionally, Lord. But as Gomer, we stand here, Father God. But you said, go get him again. Hosea means Jesus. It means Savior. Save him again. Do you know how many times God saved you and I? He continues to save us all the time. He continues to heal us. You may have been sick with COVID before you entered this building, but he continues to heal you. He continues. There's healing in our body. It's flowing in our body. And just like Gomer in the Bible, Hosea came and got her again. Jesus came and got her again. How many times? He did it repeatedly, and he's doing it today. He's bringing us back in. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the blood that was shed for us, Father God. We thank you for the sacrifice, and we thank you that when we get to heaven, we don't have to be afraid. When the time and the hour of our death comes, we don't have to say, I don't know what I'm going to face in heaven. I do know the mercy seat is there, and I do know the blood is applied for me. So, Lord, I thank you for the forgiveness of sins, Father God, for each and every one of us as we stand. We stepped forward today, Father God. We came out of our seats and we stepped forward just to acknowledge your blood, Jesus, and who you are. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Keep us, Father God. And Lord, I ask that you would use every single person that's standing at this altar. Father God, I ask that you would give them an opportunity to tell the world about Jesus. To tell them about
Jesus. Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian fellowship church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.